As you can see on the screen, we're looking again at this idea of the born again life. I have found that a lot of folks are interested in that idea of born again. What does that mean? Even unbelievers sometimes are interested in what does it mean? The idea of being born again sounds fascinating. Sounds like it might help me through my problems. I guarantee you it will. It'll help you if you know what that is and you look into it and experience it. The born again life. And the first slide is again John chapter 3. This is where it begins. It comes up in the Word. This is probably the first place where Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the leading council, the ruling council of the Jews. And Jesus, of course, if you know anything about this section, that Jesus is not well liked by the religious leaders of the day, because he didn't always follow the rules the way they thought he should. Plus, he was straightforward with them about, I am the Messiah, you need me, and you need to come and worship me. And they didn't like that at all. So Nicodemus is a man of that group, but yet he's interested. He's interested in Jesus and what Jesus is all about. So he comes to him, early part of John chapter 3, and he says, Nicodemus comes and says, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no one could do the works you do unless God is with him. And Jesus didn't answer, didn't say thank you for the compliment. All he said was, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. We're not talking about religious reforming your life. A lot of people get that mixed up with Christianity. Christianity is not just a way to reform your life. It is an experience of a higher power, of a great power, the power of God coming in a human being in the person of Jesus and being the Messiah and dying for our sins on the cross and being raised on the third day. And he's changed everything. He's the last Adam. He's changed everything. And so he says to Nicodemus, you can't even begin to understand what I'm talking about. You can't even begin to understand or see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Well, Nicodemus thought that was a little bit strange. And so he continued to talk to Jesus. And he said, well, how can that happen? Man can't be born a second time. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, there's one birth everybody has, or you wouldn't be here. The flesh birth. But he said, you need that other birth. You already been born once, but you need to be born again. You already had one experience of coming from a world apart from this world, your mother's body, into this world. And because you were born into this world, you begin to experience different things. The baby in the womb cannot imagine what it would be like to have life outside the womb. But when he gets life outside the womb, he begins to grow. He begins to understand. He begins to experience life that he never experienced inside the mother's body. So as he's growing in all that, Jesus said, that's one kind of birth, but I'm talking about another kind. Nicodemus, you know, he kind of thought, well, wait a minute. All he could think about was going back in his mother's body. He said, I can't do that. Jesus said, no, there's another kind of birth. And this is the one you need. This one is spirit birth. He said, the spirit is like the wind. The spirit does things and you don't see the Holy Spirit, but you experience some changes. You experience some changes. You experience some new thinking. You experience some new power, some new ability that you didn't have before. You experience some more love than you ever had before. You experience a lot of things differently because you've been born anew. The next slide talks about what Jesus, he continues to talk about that. And it comes to chapter 3, verse 16, which everybody's heard, I guess. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So part of this new birth thing is you're born into a new world. In fact, if you think of yourself, you were born from a human mother. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms. But you were born from a human mother, and the life you experience now is radically different from the life you experienced in her body. So Jesus is saying, it's like that. You're born into the Spirit causes you to be born anew into a different existence. And even though you grew up in this world, now you've been born out of the world. You were born into the world. Now you're born out of the world into a different experience called being born again. So as you're born again, he says here, God so loved the world that he sent his own son, his only begotten son, into the world, that whoever believes in him, so it's all about faith, it's about belief, believe that that's who he is. If you believe in him, it says you won't die, you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. So eternal life is the life you get when you're born again. Eternal life is the life you get when you're born again. Now we're going to look at that a little bit because we need our minds to be upgraded a little bit to think about this eternal life thing. Most people would say, if you say, what is eternal life? Most people, I guess, would say, well, that's going to heaven. Well, that's true. But that's not all there is to it. That's not everything. You have eternal life because you've been born again. Well, if you haven't been born again, you need to tend to that right now. How do you tend to that? You say in your heart, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth to die for not just the sins of the world, but for my sins. He died for my sins. Not the sins of the world, although he did. You have to make it personal and say in your heart, I believe that. I believe that somebody cared enough about me. Somebody cared enough about me, not just the human race, me, that he gave himself. He was the only one empowered to do that. Gave himself for me. That experience where you put that faith in him is the beginning of this idea of being born anew. When you do that, God does the work. He's the one that does the heavy lifting. You just do the faith part, and he does the heavy lifting, which is to transform you into somebody else. You're transformed into a new creature. Paul said that we are a new creation. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation or new creature. God does that. God does that. Are you frustrated? Are you frustrated with yourself? Are you frustrated with how hard it is to manage your life? Are you frustrated with how things are not going well? Are you frustrated with, I want to be better, I want to do better? If you're frustrated with that, that tells me that you're the one trying to do it. Faith would say, I'm making progress, going to be better, because I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and he's working, and I'm just here. Didn't Jesus say this about, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavily laden, I'll give you rest? And then he said, I got something for you to strap on. It's called a yoke. And you strap on this yoke, and I'm telling you, it's easy. It's light. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. And you'll find rest for your souls. Anybody that's ever experienced the Holy Spirit working in their lives can say, oh, he makes it so much easier. He makes it so much easier. I don't fret and I don't worry and I don't worry about I'm not making enough progress and I don't worry about what if God doesn't bless me? What if God doesn't help me with the Spirit? It's so much easier. That's why he's here. That's why he's here. He's called the Parakaleo, I believe it is in Greek, which means somebody who's called alongside to help you. Somebody who's come to your side. Someone who's come to your aid. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's not a human. He's a person of the Godhead. And he comes in and he helps you. He teaches you. He leads you. He guides you. He gives you that strength. So born again gives you eternal life. Put up the next slide, if you will. Just as Jesus said this in that same reading, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. This is again New International Version. Look at that last line. Everyone who does what? Believes. Believes what? That Christ is who he said he is. Anyone who believes that anyone, that's the whole plan, that when that happens, you'll have eternal life. Notice it says eternal life in him. I thought it was all about going to heaven. No, it's about eternal life in you. You are going to go to heaven, right? And you're going to be resurrected to have a glorious new body like Jesus' body. But can you have this kind of heavenly life in you? See, you can already have heaven now. You have it now. I'm going to give you several scriptures to show you that. You don't have to wait. You can have it now. What does he say? Whoever believes may have eternal life in him. Is that way off in heaven or is that present in you? It's in you. See, we have a lot of believers that aren't sure they're saved. And they're not sure they even have anything from God. And they go to church because they feel guilty, or they go to church because they're just churchgoers, and they don't really feel close to God, and they don't even think you should feel close to God. God is out there, and he's like your father standing there with a whip, about ready to whip you. It's just different. It's eternal life in you means you already have heaven living in you in some sense. Here he said, if you believe, what happens? You have eternal life in you. What's that all that about Moses, the snake? Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. I wrote that up there too, put the scripture up there in Numbers 21, verse 4 to verse 9. Go back there for a minute. Numbers is an Old Testament book of the Bible where Moses is trying to get the people to the promised land. And they were so hard to deal with and so gave God such trouble and disrespected God so often. In verse 4, they travel from Mount Or along the route of the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? They said to Moses, this God you said we're supposed to follow, why did you bring us out here? You brought us out here to die. This God wants to kill us. He wants to kill us. He brought us out here to die. There's no bread. There's no water. We detest this miserable food. I think it was manna, wasn't it, or something like that, where whatever God gave them, they didn't like it. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a snake, bronze snake, and put it up on a pole, and anyone who was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake and he lived. Now think about that. What if somebody came in the back door back there and dumped out a couple of big cartons of rattlesnakes in here and close the door? Well, we might have a couple of new doors in here when it was over. It wouldn't be much fun, and you wouldn't sit there quietly, would you? You'd be scrambling around. These people, this is about 1 million, 2 million people, and so many snakes that they overtook the camp, and people are being bitten, and people are dying, and they're screaming and running and yelling and trying to get away from this desert, you know, is full of snakes sometimes. Those old big rattlesnakes out West Texas. And they're trying to get away from these snakes. And they're crying out to Moses, we're sorry, we shouldn't have disrespected God like that. And so Moses starts praying. That's powerful, because when you have a problem, don't wait to ask. Don't wait to pray. Just pray then. Just start asking. So Moses started asking, and God gave him an answer. What was the answer? This took a while. Go make a bronze snake, or a snake. And Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a big pole, ran it up this pole, and I'm sure it had to be pretty high for the whole camp to see it. And the word got out to everybody, if you get bitten, just look for that pole. Well, they're working, and the snakes are biting, and they're trying to stay away from the snakes, but they get bit. And what's their first thought? Where's that pole? I don't know if that'll work or not, but I'm going to try it. A lot of people, I bet, say, that won't do any good. Looking at a snake on a pole, what good's that going to do? So they start looking for, where's that pole he told us about? And you see it, because you feel the poison already coming up, and you look at that, okay, God said if I look at that, I'll get healed. And look at the snake, and you feel your body changing. And all the poison is diluted. And you don't even feel bad anymore. Why did Jesus tell that story? Remind them of that story. We go back to John 3. Why did he remind them of that story? Verse 14 of John 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. May have eternal life in him. The Son of Man, that's Jesus. He says to Nicodemus, they're going to lift me up too. And I'm going to be lifted up. And later he said, I'll draw all men unto me, anybody that wants salvation. So I'm going to be lifted up. And as I am lifted up, it'll be so that everyone who believes in me may have eternal life in him. So where does eternal life come from? A person. Not religious tenets, not doctrines, not, and those things are important. We do need to know what the Word teaches. I would never say that's not important. Jesus said, but I'm more important. He's the cause of eternal life. On the screen here, I put another passage. Think about these. Let these sink in. John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus said in another place, whoever drinks the water I give them. Remember the woman at the well? And she kept asking, or he asked her for a drink of water. And she said, why do you want a drink from me? We don't, you know, she was a different race, and so they had racial problems. And he said, if you knew who it was that asked you for water, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. And she said, where are you going to get this water? She thought he meant a place where she could get water all the time and would not have to come and draw water. So how are you going to get me this water? And then somewhere in that conversation, he said this, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So the water I give, notice that again, I give them will become in them, in them. He's not talking about heaven, he's talking about in you. In them, what will happen? A spring of living water, a spring of this living water will well up within you. I thought, well, what does that mean? Look at the next slide. I put it in the original, I looked it up in the original language. It was originally written in Greek. Shall be becoming, that's clumsy because Greek and English don't quite match. You have to make them, put them together. Shall be becoming in him a spring of living, a spring of water leaping up into eternal life. Notice the in him. It's in you. What is living water? Who's in you? Christ through the Holy Spirit. Where's eternal life? In you. It's in you, believer. It's in you. Is that talking about heaven? Sure. But you get a little piece of it now. And so, as you do, you get all excited. You can tell a real believer. Believers are excited about what God has done for them because they believe it. They believe it in here. If you don't, then you haven't really experienced much new birth. In them, a spring of water welling up or leaping up to eternal life. Notice the next slide. This is John chapter 5, verse 24. Very truly I tell, still Jesus talking, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, believes the Father, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over. Has crossed over. Let us sink in. Has crossed over from death to life. Look at that again. Very truly I tell you. Why does he say that? He always told the truth. He's emphasizing. Listen to me, he says. Listen to me. This is a big one. This is a fundamental, foundational principle. Whoever hears my word, are you hearing his word now? I'm getting it right out of this. It was written when he spoke it. Hears my word and believes him who sent me. Don't just believe him, believe the Father that sent him. Has eternal life. When's that going to happen? When you get to heaven? When's that going to happen when you get to heaven? Are you awake? Are you listening? When's it going to happen? Now. You have eternal life now. You have a down payment. Now, I believe there's a place where the Holy Spirit's called the down payment on heaven, on our relationship with God in heaven. Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Look at this. And will not be judged. Now, Paul said something about us standing before the judgment seat of Christ, but that's talking about disciples. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, I will not be sent to hell as I come. He died for me, right? I'm not going through the big judgment that everybody else is that doesn't know Christ. But what's my judgment? It won't be a judgment. It will be, Paul said, it's standing before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body. That's disciples. And we will stand before Jesus, and he'll talk to us about our earthly life, and he'll point out some things. And you know what? We always think of that as being negative. Negative, but it's not always negative. You know, sometimes going to court is positive because they find you're not guilty. So you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and he gives you have to kind of give an account. This is disciples now. The world doesn't get this privilege. But we just go before Jesus, and we talk to Jesus about our discipleship. And he talks about the things he sent you to do and the things he assigned you to do, and some of them you didn't do and some you did do. And when he talks to you about it, there'll probably be some things where he says, you know, you did a great job there. I was proud of you because I sent you this little impression that you should be doing this to this, for helping this person, and you helped that person. I really appreciate that. I think that was great. You looked like me when you were helping people. But what he says here in John is, John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, present possession, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. When you're born again, you cross over. You get eternal life. It comes in you. You're crossed over from death to life. Is that good news? Next slide. I want you to see these in their context with what I've been saying. Do we need our minds upgraded and updated? Doesn't your computer get an update once in a while? Well, here comes an update. Here comes an update. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul's talking about the spiritual things and spiritual life, and he says, well, nobody really knows the mind of God, what God's got planned for us, but he says God has revealed it to us by His Spirit, So in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind, we've been born again. What does that mean to have the mind of Christ? You think like he thinks. You don't think like the old person. You think the old you. You think like if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. So you've been born again. You don't think that way anymore. What do you think? Like, who do you think like? Like Christ, the mind of Christ. And that next line, has this one. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've heard that one, haven't you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, verse 2. So we go out of here today, and the idea is you've got the equipment now, you've got the supplies, You've got the ability to go out of here transformed in your mind to say, I'm so happy I have eternal life. I don't have to worry about heaven versus hell. I know I'm going to heaven because I already got heaven in me. It's already in me. I already know it. I already have. Well, Paul talked about that. He said, we've been raised with Christ to sit with him in heavenly places. There are places in the New Testament where it talks about our salvation is already accomplished. Our life in heaven already accomplished. It's already been given to us. Jesus bought it and paid for it and gave it to us. And so we have these little downscale versions of heaven in us as we wait to get to go to the actual place. I'll give you an illustration of this. If you had won a lot of money in a contest of some kind, everybody daydreams about that, right? What is it, Publishers Clearing House and the lottery and all that stuff, and every once in a while somebody wins a lot of money. And so you win a lot of money and you get that phone call, or sometimes they send you a registered letter, or even somebody comes to your door and they say, well, you won this contest. And you see this registered letter, lawyer letter, you know it, it says you've won this contest and the prize you won is $10 million. And you look at that, $10 million. $10 million. I'm now worth $10 million? Some people would say, I just can't believe it. No, you can believe it if you want to, right? Because you got the evidence. It all seems up and up. And you call your bank and you say, I got this weird letter, you know, and the bank says, oh yeah, we know about that. Their lawyer stopped by and it's for real. It's for real. You've got $10 million. They've already started the process of transferring $10 million into your account. When do you get happy? Do you wait till it hits your account to get happy? No, some of you would be, you'd already be spent a million of it before it even hits your account, right? And they'd have to wait on you. Oh, he's got the money coming in, but you already spent a million of it, you know. When do you get happy? When you hear the good news. Did you know the word gospel means good news? Why are we not happier just hearing the good news? Because our minds have not been renewed yet. Because we don't meditate on these things. And we don't say, I know I have eternal life. It's in me. It's living in me. I don't understand all of this, but I just heard the good news that I'm richer than I could ever imagine being rich, because this is heavenly riches. This is riches that last forever. And I know I have it because I trust the one that told me the good news. The Bible has been around. New Testament's been around for 2,000 years. Do you think it's credible? Is the Bible credible?
Yes.
If it's not, if you think it's not, then you haven't really studied it. Because there's quite a bit of prophecy in the Bible. Something was predicted here and it came true here 500 years later. Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah predicted the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Messiah. He predicted it 700 years before it happened. You get to the New Testament and it says that's what that was talking about. So even the New Testament said yes. Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 8 says that's what that was talking about. Jesus went around and healed and preached the good news. And Isaiah knew about it 700 years before it happened. Wrote it down. How could he know that? God told him. The Bible is a supernatural book, but we treat it like it's just another piece of literature sometimes. If you know the good news, that's when you get happy. That's when you get happy. And that's why, well, this last slide, I believe that's the last one, isn't it? Next to last, okay. Jesus said, John 17:3, just a reminder of something we talked about last week. This is eternal life, so we have eternal life in us, don't we? This is what it is. That people can know you, the only true God. So if you have eternal life in you, you know God. Now, you may not know him well yet, but you have the equipment. You have the process in you. You have the life in you. You have the light, L-I-G-H-T. You have the light in you. This is eternal life, that people can know you, the only true God, and that they know Jesus Christ, the one you sent. Jesus himself said that. What's eternal life? A walking, talking, real, alive, living relationship with the one who created all things, with the master of all things, with Jesus himself. This relationship, because you have eternal life in you. It's in you. Now the last one. Jesus said this: "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." The one who believes has eternal life. Jesus said that in John 6, verse 47. We've heard the good news. We've heard the good news. So let's act like it. Let's just act like it. Like, wow. Call up your best friend who doesn't come to church here and say, "Do you hear what happened to me? What? I'm going to heaven, but I got eternal life already in me. It's already working in me. It's changing me. It's changing me, and it's helping me." And so heaven is not some far away, far off, by pie in the sky, by and by place. It's in me now. It's in me now. Because it's in me now by the Holy Spirit. It's in me now by the work of Christ. I'm excited now. I'm happy now. I'm peaceful now. I'm not worried. I'm not worried anymore about life, worried about things. Eternal life. How do you get it? Jesus said, "You believe in me. You hear my word. Do you believe my word? Do you believe the one that sent me?" And you have it. You have it. You have it. Nobody in this room should go out of here today wondering, "Do I have eternal life?" If you doubt, when I'm praying, you just pray right along. In your own heart, you just say, "Lord, I'm so grateful to you." Or, "Lord, I do believe in you. I do accept who you are. I do accept who you are. And I will follow you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it." Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. The reason I put that up is our notebook here that we pray over. The reason we pray over this is it's full of names. As most of you know this, names of people that you have submitted. This is private. We don't publish their names or anything. But it's in here. Their name is in here. And we pray over these names all the time. So we're praying right now over these names. People who do not know eternal life, have not heard the good news, or people who have heard it and kind of lost it and walked away from it, and who need to come back. So pray with me in your own heart as I pray. Father, we gather together our prayers and ask you to touch these people, to touch their lives, to put the good news in their path where they come across it. Whether it's from us or some other church or some individual, bring somebody across their path, Father. As you do that, they will respond to that message. We also pray there's some, obviously, in there, in this book, who they have had accepted it in the past, and for some reason they were sort of stillborn. They kind of got born again, but they didn't. And we ask you to help them. Help them, Father, to understand and to come back to the original joy they had, the eternal life they had, some in this audience maybe today. But I know in this notebook we have some names of those who fell away, and we want them back, and we know you want them back. So you're not reluctant. We're not asking you in a way of begging, because we know this is your will more than it is ours. But we ask because you said if we ask, we receive. You said that if we ask, we should intercede, that there are people there who will not ask for themselves, don't know how to ask, don't even know it's important, but we're asking on their behalf. And we know that gives you the ability, the open door, I should say, to come into their lives. We open that door for you, Father. We're grateful to you that we have eternal life because of your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your love and compassion on us, and your passion to see us in heaven. You've given us a little foretaste of it right now. And we're grateful, Father, for that. Grateful to you for that. And we pray that this will not leave our minds today, that as we go out of here, our minds will be renewed and strengthened, and that we'll grow in this understanding that you are so gracious. You have already given us eternal life. In Christ's name, by his work, we pray. Amen.